Amen. How's everybody doing? Look like we're connected online. I want to state to the online students that next week will be test week, or exam week, I should say. And my exams are going to be coming straight from the quiz questions. So definitely study your quiz questions. I always tell people, go ahead on and actually make a hard copy of it, because we'll pull from those questions. So I want to let everybody know that. So let's get started, because we got 29 minutes and 30 seconds. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for our man of God. We thank you, Lord God, for this school of ministry. And I thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit, who I rely on. And I know he's going to uplift me. And I just depend now on the supply of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to continue to talk about loyalty versus disloyalty. And we're looking at the stages of disloyalty. I probably in the next 29 minutes won't be able to go over all 8 stages, but I'll try to hit 4 or 5 of them. Last week we talked about the first stage, which is a person having an independent spirit. And one of the things we stated was when a person belongs to a group ministry or a company, develops an independent attitude or spirit, they sort of become autonomous to that group. In other words, they're part of the group, but they're separate because they think independently. They're not a team player. That's one of the best ways I can say it. They're doing something on their own accord. They speak and they represent themselves and not the group. One of the things I said about the word autonomous is a responding, reacting, or developing independently of the whole, existing or acting separately from others, having the power or the right to govern oneself. In other words, I do not need anybody else. I'm self-sufficient. That's a person who has an independent spirit. And what I want to do is kind of show some examples from the Bible of people who had an independent spirit. When you begin to exhibit a spirit of independence within an organization, let it be known that you are slowly becoming disloyal to the organization, which, if not corrected or checked, will lead to total dishonesty. Total dishonor. I'm going to read that again. When you begin to exhibit the spirit of independence within an organization or ministry, let it be known that you are slowly becoming disloyal to that organization or that ministry, which if not corrected or checked or put back in perspective, will lead you into total dishonor. Okay? And that's so very important that we understand that. All right. Were they people in the Bible who had an independent spirit? Yes. And we're going to be looking at I might be pronouncing his name wrong, Joab, J-O-A-B, Joab. Joab was David's leader. He was David's right-hand man. He was like the prime minister, the author says, one of David's chief individuals, and he was very powerful, yet he had an independent spirit. Okay, let's kind of look. I'm coming out of 1 Samuel chapter 3, around verse 20. But it says here that King David, who was the head over the government, he was in charge. He was like in reference, king over a country, but he was also the spiritual leader. So from an apostolic point of view, he was in charge. And he had decided to make peace with one of his adversaries, Abner, A-B-N-E-R, Abner, after many years of conflict. The king even called for a celebration or a peace agreement, a feast with Abner and 20 of his men. And Abner, at this meeting with King David, when Abner and the 20 men who were with him met with David in Hebron, David led out a feast for them. Abner then said, I'm ready to let go now to rally everybody in Israel for my master, the king, King David. They'll make a treaty with you and authorizing you to rule over them however you see fit. And David was pleased, and he sent Abner out to go and make this treaty with Israel. But Joab, who was one of David's key men, wasn't there at the feast. But when he came from his assignment, he heard about what David had arranged with Abner. And he was very upset. You know, how could this be? You know, now, one of the things about an independent spirit person, a person who has an independent spirit, they have a hidden agenda, self-motive, where they are doing things for their own personal benefit. And so what Joab did was he called Abner aside, said, I need to meet with you privately. And basically he set him up to the point where now he went over to him and actually slew him or killed him, you know, because he was so upset that him and in other words, he kind of felt like, well, he might be taking my place. You know, he might be, you know, overstepping me and trying to get ahead of me. So he ended up having him killed, you know, who, when the king opted for peace, here Joab now with an independent spirit is doing something totally contrary to the king. You know, people in ministry, a lot of times, and like I said, that's an extreme case, you got to understand. But even if your man of God changes the midweek service from Tuesday to Wednesday, And you got set on coming Tuesday, but I got plans and I've been doing things. I go to the health club on Wednesday night, you know, so I'm not changing my plans. I just gonna have to see that's an independent spirit, you know, because your leader, you know, one of the things I try to share people with is you have to be flexible. Because, and one of the things I've noticed is it, a lot of times things are done to actually see where you are at spiritually and where your heart is at. I always tell people you always want to know your man of God's heart. And let me move on. That took 12, 13 minutes, so I need to move. That's something else the Lord shared with me. He said, don't be concerned about time, you know, because I'm going to get out what needs to be gotten out. So, you know, don't, you know, I'm always looking at the clock and trying to go through my notes to make sure I got everything. But the key thing is getting what God wants to say in each instance. So we're going to move on now to the second area of disloyalty when a person gets into dishonor, and that is offense. The second stage of disloyalty is offense. Offense, a definition, is to cause displeasure or anger, resentment, or wounded feelings, hurt or upset over an outcome, a disgruntled church member or an employee, a member who becomes agitated. Jesus said in the last days, according to Matthew's 20 and 10, ye shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. So offense, one of the things, key things I want to say about offense, when a person becomes offended, I take that word and I divide it off and in. When you become offended, you off in the process of recovery that God is trying to do in your life. You know, whenever you become offended, your feelings got hurt. You got rubbed the wrong way. And instead of letting it go and releasing it, giving it over to God, and just say, Lord, I just thank you for just healing the wound of the offense on inside of me. You know, as I always tell people, you should never let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't take it to bed with you, because now you got opportunity to dream about it. Now you got opportunity to ponder over it. And most of the times it gets worse, you know. But a lot of people, you know, in a church setting or in even on a job, they'll get offended about something. And really, it's better to release that person, let it go. Because if you retain it, whatever sins you retain is going to be retained unto you. But whatever sin you release or let go, you know, it's not on you anymore. You know, and that's so very important because you're going to harbor that, and it's going to eat you like a cancer. So when you become offended, you off in the process. You off offend the process of recovery that God wanted to do in your life. So like I said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. There was a situation where Absalom was upset because his half brother basically had sex with his sister Tamar, and he harbored resentment because number one, David, who was the king, and by law, if there was incest, the person who was involved in the incest was supposed to be put to death, but David didn't do that. So for two whole years, Absalom just harbored this thing on the inside of him until he got opportunity to kill his half brother. You know, but that's what offense, you know, it'll eat at you, you know, and it's so very important that we let offenses go because it will lead to total dishonor. And we know in this class, we want to know how to walk in honor. And by walking in honor, look like I'm not moving on my time. I'm just looking at it. It's standing at 12:18. Maybe it's me, but I just want to make sure. Yes, it's standing still. Okay, let's move on. Never forget this. Hurts and offenses or unresolved conflicts will usher good church-going people down to the road of disloyalty, which will cause them to walk in dishonor. So it's, you know, hurts or unresolved conflicts will usher, you know, good people, you know. There's times I've seen church members and people who might have got offended about something. And what happens, and I'm getting into the third point, which is the passivity, where a person gets passive. When a person gets offended, now they kind of draw back or be seclusive because they don't want to hurt nobody's feelings because I'm hurt, but because I'm bawling over with all of this, you know, if somebody comes up to me, I might just let it go, you know. So what ends up happening is after being offended by one thing or another and walking in offense, people who are offended will allow disloyalty to creep in and become passive, just sitting around doing nothing and being uninvolved. You know, so a lot of times when you see somebody who's, you know, who used to be very active in ministry, they always volunteered. They always, you know, whenever they asked, they're one of the first hands to go up and it was always first there. But if they become offended for anything, if they don't get that offense resolved and before the sun goes down and let that thing simmer, you know, when you let food simmer, the seasoning gets all in from the meat everywhere, you know, even though we're not supposed to be eating meat, but you know, I'm using an example. But when a person just lets that simmer, that sore just gets all, it might have been just a small wound. Before you know it, it's affecting. Now, the Bible says, and I missed this, it's better to pluck your eye out if you're offended than to go into hellfire with you know, I just let the eye burn and I can, the rest of my body can go free. You know, if your hand offends, they said to pluck it off, tear it off, because it's going to fester, you know, just like a cancer, it's going to get bigger. You know, but then once that happens, then you now enter into the third phase, which is the passivity or being passive. When a person is passive in the passive stage of disloyalty, the process, he or she does not get, they're not involving themselves in anything in the church. They don't want to be bothered. Let me read that again. When a person is in the passive stage of disloyalty process, he or she does not get involved, not involve himself in much at all at the church. They don't want to be bothered. Like I said, they just want to sit. He or she sits and watches unconcerned, uninvolved. There's no real commitment. But all the while, that thing is just building. You know, I'll never forget something the apostle said years ago. Sometimes he can watch people. They might have been a third row person. The next Sunday, they on the eighth row or the ninth row. And then before you know it, they're on the back row. And before you know it, you don't even see them no more. Why? Because they get further, because they're... And sometimes I try to watch, and I, you know, if I see somebody, I'll never forget one instance. And if I use this illustration, I'm going to use all my time. I'm going to have to try to figure out a way to make this quick. But there was this one gentleman, and I knew where he used to sit, and then I didn't see him there at church for a couple of Sundays, and then I saw him, and he was sitting further away, and he looked kind of unconcerned. I didn't see that enthusiasm on his face, and I remember calling him. I might have shared this before, and the Lord led me to call him. I was driving from church home one day in my truck years ago. And his name just came up in my spirit. So I had this phone number in my phone. So I called him and said, "Man, how you doing?" And he started to share some things that was going on his job with some money he was supposed to get. I think he was in the process of retiring and that didn't come through. And I talked with him for a little while and, you know, it seemed to help out. But, you know, and I felt pretty good about what we talked about, and I just encouraged him, and he thanked me. He said, "Look, I really appreciate you calling me, checking on me. I thank you so much, you know, but that thing just got bigger." He still didn't let it go, and about maybe a week or two later, I was doing some work with some people were doing some work for me, and I was helping them out doing some roofing work. And then they said, "That's something about what happened to Brother So-and-so." I said, "What happened?" He said, "He committed suicide." I said, "What?" I said, "I just talked with him 2 weeks ago, and I knew he was going through something." They said, "Yeah." And that bothered me for a while. And from that point on, I made it a point. If somebody even gives me just an inkling that this is going on, "Hey, look, I'm with you. You call me day or night, anytime." You know, and there was another situation where another person going through a similar situation and gave me the comment that "I'm past suicide." I said, "Oh, no, you're not." I said, "You're beyond blessing." Yeah. And now this person is very active. He works camera. He works with the CD ministry. Just, you know, he's in prison ministry. He's just a ball of fire, you know. So, you know, people can be turned, you know, but as leaders in the church, when we see, because, you know, sometimes it could be just a little thing that's causing something, you know, an offense or a hurt or something that's in their heart that needs to be released so that they can be free to do what God's called them to do. And let me do what God called me to do and continue. All right, move on. All right. Okay, we're going to go now to the fourth stage. I'm probably only going to have time just for this. That's called the critical stage. Those members who don't leave the church during the passive stage, and they stay connected, but they still have some disloyalty in them, they begin to be critical. You ever notice people who always criticizing everything that goes on in church, the color of the walls, the flowers they have in the church, or, you know, the way certain things, the way the order of the service is done? That's a person with a critical spirit. It says that a disloyal person is not passive forever. He or she progresses into the next step of becoming critical, or having a critical spirit, as some would say. This is a stage of noticing and magnifying faults, errors, shortcomings, and other members, even the pastor of the church. He or she finds fault in the preaching of the word, and even in the order of service. So this person here, they'll magnify faults, errors, shortcomings, and of other members. They, you know, they look at everything with a critical eye. A person who has a critical spirit. They, you know, and a lot of times The way you look at something, your point of view will determine the viewpoint of how you feel about something. If you're looking for a fault, you're going to find a fault. But if you're looking to find the good in something, your viewpoint is going to be looking for the good. You know, there's always good in something. But a person with a critical spirit is always trying to find fault. You know, Miriam and Aaron, when they came against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that he married, had a critical spirit. Even though they saw what God had did and how God used their brother Moses, and even though she was Moses' intercessor for all those years and watched over Moses, but because of being family, she decided, well, I'm going to step in and give my two cents about this union, you know. And God had to call her and Aaron on the carpet because of them being critical of Moses, who God has appointed. And you know, God says, if there be a prophet in all Israel, you know, I'll speak to him mouth to mouth. But Moses is not so. I know I'll speak to him in signs and similitudes, but Moses, I'll speak with him mouth to mouth, because Moses was the man. Moses was God's mouthpiece on the earth. You know, he was the apostolic leader at that time. And it was not Miriam or Aaron's place to speak against what Moses was doing. If God needed to correct Moses, God was going to correct him, you know. So critical people always have a negative point of view, you know. I shared this before. I remember there was one lady in the church, and she's not with us anymore. She asked me about, are you going to get involved in this new program that Apostle is doing? I said, yeah, we're going to get involved. She said, y'all just always itching for itching, what was the word she used? For abuse, itching for abuse. Like, you know, I'm just, you know, scratching. I'll take it, you know, and you're being, no, every time you get involved in ministry, you're one step away from a blessing. You know, it's no abuse involved. You know, don't think anything that you do for God is going to be for naught, because God is going to reward. As that old Baptist hymn would say, you can't outbeat his giving. You know, I mean, it's, you know, because, and I liked what Apostle said today, and I won't be going further, but, you know, we're all called to be ministers. You know, when he was talking about the laity, you know, there's you know, the Bible says we're all ambassadors. You know, we're ambassadors for Christ. We're called to go out there and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, we get instructions through the fivefold ministry groups, and we take those instructions and we go forth with it. You know, so there's no such thing as not, you know, like I said, you want to participate. And not having that critical spirit, not, you know, because the way you walk in honor is by having that loyalty for your man of God, loyalty for the ministry, loyalty for the first family, and serve unconditionally, serving, you know. Believe me, it's a blessing and a privilege, because as I always stated, the anointing always flows down, you know, and when you align yourself properly in ministry and walk in that loyalty, you can't help but honor is knocking at your door. When I say knocking at your door, it's waiting for you to line up properly. Your blessing, what God wants to do in your life, in your family, you know, in your children's life, it all is connected to you serving properly, loyalty, and with a loyalty, with you know, like I said, just having, you know, no reservation, you know. There have been times I've been asked to do things that I had to adjust my schedule, adjust my wife's schedule, you know. But whatever it took to get the job got done. And that's being loyal, you know, sticking with the assignment until the work is done. And my time is up. Amen. All right.